Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that he is risen. Help us to show how much we love you back by our worship, by our conduct, by our care for each other, how we feed the sheep. We thank you for the fellowship which we can enjoy. I pray this in the name of the risen Lord. Amen. Thank you. Now, the gospel reading which I just proclaimed from John 21, I imagine if we came upon that scene to a casual observer, it might seem like quite an ordinary scene. A group of friends sharing breakfast together on a beach on a warm spring morning by the large lake called the Sea of Galilee. Ordinary folk with small fishing vessels nearby, a sign that some of the young men are fishermen. In one sense, this was a very ordinary scene. But in another sense, the scene is remarkable for who is in their midst. Jesus of Nazareth, risen and very much alive, prepared a small fire on the beach and then instructed seven of the remaining apostles where to get an excellent catch of fish, and speaks about our need for love for each other. We sometimes associate the presence of God with amazing places. If we're traveling on an unfamiliar road, when we're actually paying attention, not only to what's on the road, but what's nearby and what's overhead, we can be overwhelmed by the beauty of creation, of stunning sunsets, or budding trees, or unexpected wildlife. Then we might be reminded of the creative beauty of our amazing God. As the medieval teacher Thomas of Aquinas said, creation points to the Creator. Creation points to the Creator. Or perhaps we encounter the architecture of an amazing place of worship, and we're drawn to the wonder of the divine architect, the true architect of it all, God himself. Tragically, the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris was badly damaged by fire recently. And I imagine a number of us have been there. And we've seen the glorious heights. And we've seen the dozens of square meters of stained glass. And the exquisite carvings, very fine carvings, in stone and wood. Doesn't a magnificent place of worship point us to the living God? Or to take another example, I would love to take every single person here to St. Paul's Cathedral in London. I'd love to be your tour guide. In our own modest way, the worship here at St. Bryce's is meant to help us encounter the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We gather here to hear his written word for us and to be nurtured as we share the sacrament together. And we enjoy the gift of one another's fellowship. Not only are we being prepared for heaven as we gather here, we're also being strengthened and equipped to go out into this broken world as ambassadors of reconciliation. These are all wonderful ways to help us draw nearer to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But isn't the wonderful tableau of the risen Jesus on the beach with his friends doing something different? The story of Christmas is not that we encounter God only occasionally or that he's far away. Nor is the presence of God only to be associated with a place, like a place of worship, like St. Bryce's. The story of Christmas, the story of the Incarnation, is that God is with us through the risen Jesus by his Spirit in the ordinary of our lives. In the ordinary of our lives. The Lord Jesus had a meal on the beach with his friends, full of divine friendship, nourishing them with a fish, which they caught at his command. We too can encounter the Lord in the ordinary, in the day-to-day. He is with us by his Spirit, hour by hour, minute by minute. He dwells in us as we live for him. But are we grateful for his presence? Do we take time to appreciate how the entire universe is sustained by the will of the one who created the universe out of nothing? Perhaps we need to practice perceiving the reality of divine love, which has shot through all that is good and holy. Do we seek to be salt and light in every encounter that we have? Do we practice the gift of gratitude? But a month ago, I was reading something written by William Temple, it's the Archbishop of Canterbury, in the opening years of the Second World War. And he wrote this: "It is probable that in most of us the spiritual life is impoverished and stunted because we give so little place to gratitude. All our love to God is in response to his love for us. It never starts on our side. We love because he first loved us." 1 John 5:19. "And his love is most of all shown in his treatment of our sin. God commendeth his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." For us. Romans 5:8. "That is the fact which constrains our gratitude and so inspires our love." I believe it was the 20th century Roman Catholic mystic and monk Thomas Merton, in his book Learning to Love, he wrote about our human need to discover the presence of divine love in the everyday. In the everyday. Do we recognize the presence of the divine risen Lord in our daily lives? It's clear that in the opening days after the crucifixion, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, the apostles didn't quite know what to do. Peter and John and go back to their old job as fishermen in the large lake called the Sea of Galilee. And after a frustrating night of catching no fish at all, there's a young man on the shore about 100 yards away who tells them to lower the net on the other side of the boat. And they catch an abundance of fish. It is John, the beloved disciple, who recognizes the risen Jesus first, and Peter, who's actually been fishing naked, although not all Bible translations mention this, is so excited, he jumps into the lake and he swims to shore. The other six apostles come along in the boats with this great catch of fish. Let's note that the risen Jesus was present, but they didn't recognize his presence at first. Do we recognize the presence of the risen Jesus in our daily lives? Let's live for him, honor him, and worship him day by day. Amen.